Machinery need humanity more than planets. The kind of senses like will be light. No, we lost. Do not dare. Hate of me, dictators die. Dictators die. And the power they crumble. Return to the people. To the people. No, you need to spite the new world. No, greed. Now spite to free the world. Fulfill that purpose. Let us all unite.
Welcome, folks, here this season. It is Wednesday, the 25th of March 2015, fastly approaching the night of that, which is when the Free Your Mind Conference is happening. Going to be in Philadelphia for that. Just a reminder, folks, freeconference.com. Be a good time, except Monday. Well, I'll be speaking on Saturday night, but we'll be there through, I think I'm moving Wednesday night, so I'll be there Monday today and Wednesday just explaining. So anyone that wants to tag along, you just be there. Hey, anything? So we're with Daniel Day. Show Daniel, do you
Yeah.
Cool man. Hope we have a good day today. We'll worry about it. So I consider today, I was looking through all of the stuff I've been doing, and I took a break and actually watched TV today, which is kind of rare. I was looking and going, and I'm just going, my God, it's nothing but trash. I went to the day, and I brought a few of the titles that you'd mentioned on the show. So I was just curious if they actually even carry the books. And of course, I went in there and asked him, no, that's out of print. You can't even order it. It's out of print. And I'm like, huh. And I look around, so around the bookstore.
That's terrible. No, it's kind of some of the things that were available are gone.
Well, yeah, I'm looking around the store, and I'm seeing all these science fiction, fantasy, romance, sex novels. I'm seeing all kinds of, but you know, I'm not seeing any. There's not an it's noble. There is not an ounce of knowledge in that. There's a few very limited law dictionary. There's Bibles, but most are bad translations. There's a few things that you might know. There's some literature that's interesting to say, but for the most part, the whole bookstore has not a drop of true knowledge in it. That's my take. That's how I felt by the time I left.
Yeah, that I don't go around to effort inside of the mainstream bookstores. It's only a lot of these things slipped through. I thought it was a great thing that the Joe Johnson's taking 7.55 and they had excerpts out of it. And it was way through one of the main carriers for about $7 on a throwaway pile. And amazed the books that I did find, they were actually delayed cast out of it. It's almost like they had to print them for one, but then they discarded them next. So ended up fine there. But more than enough of most of my can find this out through used bookstores, places that had the print books that that generally no one wanted. So with a wealth of library books, so that would have been great research and got a lot given to me that were also handy directly that worked very well too. But I would agree that there is little or nothing but truth there in most of the they're full of them, that's sure.
They certainly are. Large fiction section and lots of historical fiction and lots of that kind of thing. I'm just like, it's unbelievable that I go to a bookstore and with all of their reach, like Barnes & Noble, you know to get anything they want it. They probably can. No, it's a print, apparently. It's not a print. I was looking hands on the Saccharine Simulation books. I mean, I had to order it. Don't put things on the shelves. You're not supposed to get those. It's something to release to just so much on there. And I'm really looking for something. The only thing I saw that I'd actually consider buying was the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That was the only thing I saw. But then, I'm starting to realize, and maybe I'm wrong here, but, when I'm looking around at entertainment, I'm at the entertainment, are you seeing what I'm seeing? I don't know, maybe wrong in this, but I'm seeing a concerted effort on the part of all media sources whatsoever. Including your Span and your Fox and, anything, to literally show as much as possible the corruption, the illegitimacy, the just abuse that is going on in government. I feel like they're setting up for some. I feel like they're setting up, showing us the truth, purposefully showing the just absolute corruption, not hiding all because they're going to own. I feel like the purpose behind all of the corruption that we see. I just don't feel like it's being told us. I feel like TV shows and movies are being made about it because it's entertainment, but because they're preparing for the end of it.
I think what happens, once you have an audience to an extent that's aware of how it is, and then the last final, feel that the audience is going to is that bad, that they're hiding, it leads to further lack, I guess, would it be a faith. And so if you prepared to possibly turn out against it, and unfortunately their system is about adhering to it and being and turning a blind eye to anything that seems right, you're just supposed to just accept that that's just work. And I don't want to be part of something like that. When you have the ability to choose, well, then there'd be no point existing, no point being out there at all. I mean, if there was really your part in that dip, I can understand why people have taken an anarchist viewpoint and have gone starting to dig holes in the ground to build bunkers and store food and stuff. Because I do relate to why they would think that they do that. Because they're not, they have a bad fear of the government that actually is supposed to be either good, and they don't see it that way. So that it's a sad thing that when you don't faith in something that's around you.
Yeah, I was also reading a little bit of Greg Hallett's work, which is The Hiding of England. Someone actually sent me, and it was about this particularly. Well, basically. Going from what he refers to with the kings and the limacy, the line, and all of that stuff, like that, it's going from the gods to the age of the kings, which is sort of the, they call this sort of new age that we're entering into. The so-called, you know, they're exposing basically the fact that the Queen of England right now is an illegitimate line. The only legitimate in this bloodline that they it's exile clerk like that. It's the sort of in the background, actually, the legitimacy. It's almost like there's a new show on now, Royals, for instance, which is just showing the absolute blatant, scarred for any morals function whatever. It's a fiction show. I mean, it's just a sitcom, but it just seems to me like there is preparing us for the notion of need to have kings, real and honest. Blood kings come back, fling their destiny, all that crap, you know? That's what I feel like preparing us for, that the illegitimate, the crown away, the quote, legitimacy is gonna crack, the church is gonna, church is gonna reorganize, and you're gonna have this one world. That's what I feel. What I feel I'm seeing this sort of notion that is what preparing for us with all of the quote unquote entertainment program.
Well, certainly it's programming. It's fed in, and they select it exactly what's out there to the audience. And they have a very candid audience, unfortunately. There is a large deeper audience that actually believes what seeing on more than that is that, 100% the truth. And they don't realize that a lot of the news, they should see is held back because it would realize planet's in good shape.
Yeah. Well, that's an understatement. See, what's crazy is, like, I just went to, just typed in Age of Kings, right? The gods went in. Guess what comes up, Daniel?
What's that?
Video games.
Well, that makes sense.
Everything's video games. There is absolutely nothing but video games coming up. I mean, literally. The Age of Empires is the one that's mostly coming up. But Age of Kings, I mean, it's like... Age of Kings is a 15-part serial adaptation, 8 sequential history plays of William Shakespeare. Nothing actually... Reality, it's all coming up as fiction, games, movies, etc. Kings was a T-series in the 1960s. Starring David Andrews. I mean, I'm like, really? That's internet, even. You can't find the information on these when you look. We're in crazy land.
A recreational society, and they're just entertained. And they, when they feed, I think the reality of what is out there scares them so badly, they bury themselves. The majority of the population will bury themselves in that type of mudwash. And I think we look at it like, well, they're just here in Toronto. And I'm not mentioning them, like the rags. But, they're better lined the page with the information. More than not, they'll put sports as a front page news item. Like, as if that means something. Like, what would it? How does it really affect anything? Whether they win or not, but it does to people that have been caught in that hype. And unfortunate, but that's actually worthy. That nothing more than a game, a sporting event, actually front page on top of in front of a newspaper. It makes no sense at all. But that's what news is.
Indeed, I don't know. I just don't know. So, what's new up there with you?
Well, like I said, down what we were talking about earlier in the last couple of shows, we're talking about it has to be something. I don't believe that our situation is damned. Not the whole population, anyways. I believe that a majority probably is damned, based on the fact they're going to continue doing the same old thing and that nothing's going to change. But intrusion upon seclusion, which is really an invasion of privacy. What's happened is when we don't understand really what's going on that whole thing, it can somewhat work both ways. In one way, it looks like we've intruded upon the public domain by the way things are actually being billed and treated and penalized. But the other end, it didn't start from us because we wouldn't have known and we couldn't have been involved in the original document that started or purported the whole game to begin. So there's an important law phrase, which is, he that does not forbid what he is able to prevent is deemed to assent.
Yep.
So
you see that over and over said in a thousand different ways. Consent, you know, if you don't say you don't consent, then you consent. It's, you know, it's over and over. You see that same maxim.
So when you're they also, the term comes into it's almost like a voluntary tenancy in something, because that's kind of how English law works in the word usage. If you look up usage even in Black, you'll see a rendering that that deals with the understanding that people are actually consenting to their own torment and suffrage, or sufferance, if I want to use the word sufferance in there. So they have the term usus, which is U-S-U-S. It's a Roman terminology, but it's for this very thing, that you're actually, to an extent, consenting to be this tortured tenant. You're tolerated under this sufferance, and therefore your existence is suffering continuously. And if people don't feel that out there, then they haven't really looked closely at what's going on. And a lot won't admit, because they are paycheck to paycheck, even if they're in the what they consider to be the upper middle class. If they don't have the last couple paychecks, they're finished. I mean, their existence would be over, and they would be feeling the torment that they would never want to be, which is they're concerned to never be poor. But they really are poor. They're just, because they're actually more in debt than poor. But the poor at least don't have the debt level. The poor are safer, because they don't have the ability to put themselves at that level, at least not at the moment. But this middle class that never existed, always concerned, when did this middle class come into existence? Well, it's really probably been only in the last, probably a century that we've seen this build up to create a middle class, because no such thing existed in the past. It was either the wealthy or the poor. So all of a sudden, since the Social Security program came into place, people were able to attain to this idea of a middle class, which makes them not quite poor, but at the same time, not rich. And that's where probably the largest amount of the debt is held. In that arena. So how did that come about? Like, because again, we've had centuries upon centuries upon centuries of that never existing. All of a sudden it blows in, you know, into our era. And now it just seems like just a normal statement to say, oh, middle class.
It does, doesn't it? Well,
they're the most actually, they're the ones that are really holding a great majority of that artificial debt, because they borrow the most to actually attain their lifestyle.
Well, it's very easy to create a middle class, because all you're really doing, like you say, all you're doing is creating a desire to have things that are not within your ability to acquire. That's all you have to do to create a bunch of debtors. All you have to do is introduce absolute unrepentant desire, and you can make someone borrow. I mean, look at the mortgage crisis, what they called the mortgage crisis, the purposeful mortgage crisis. Everybody's allowed to receive a debt, an obligation that they cannot possibly repay. You think that wasn't a known entity? Guess who the main backer of all that debt was? Us. It was government. That's all that toxic debt. I mean, you know, the whole thing is just, it's one big game. So, yeah, it's really easy to create that middle state, because all it is everybody not realizing that they shouldn't be going into debt for things that they want, that they should be holding on to the things they need.
Well, exactly. Interesting that I was just flipping through the dictionary the other day, and I didn't realize that the word doctor, in its meaning, meant debtor. It's a commercial usage for debtor, the DR abbreviation especially. But we go into, you go into other, just direct meanings or definitions of the word. It means to tamper with or change in order to deceive. So
it's bizarre when you start looking.
Got you as a debtor first in their oings. And therefore, that's why the doctor on the birth records, of course, collect the last name first.
Sure.
That's the first thing they put in the order.
Right.
So it's, and that's the only thing that's actually able to demand on that state document. But of course, people consent which starts the wheels rolling on the whole thing, and the ignorant parents, which they name them as informers or informants, they're the ones that actually betray the privacy of the child and place it on the record to place them into this implied debtor arrangement. And then they just wait. That's all they do, is they just wait to see what the child's going to do, and generally the child's trained to be that, so it doesn't take too long, and they're basically supplying all the enticements, all the inducements to enter into something. And you got to be careful when somebody's inducing something. There's got to be a reason for it. They're inducing labor. I know you even do it in the hospital when they when they're trying to pump out as many children in a day as possible out of those wombs. So they actually induce labor. Well, they induce labor in the actual format of the scheme. They're inducing someone to be a laborer for something that they can never pay off the debt on.
Well, if you have a system based on debt, where the debt is what is backing everything, then yeah, there's no way to pay the debt. It's a beautiful trap. It's there's a certain artist, and I he's the guy that paints, you know, the stairs that seem to go to nowhere. Mm-hmm. And that's what it feels like, you know, the snake eating its own tail, that kind of thing. It's just this closed loop system. And see, this is what, you know, I realize after all the shows that we've done and all the talks that we've had, what I've realized the most is that when we're talking about this stuff, people want to see the problem, Daniel. Is that people want to hear, and I wanted to hear from you at first, before I really started understanding what you were saying. I wanted to hear from you that there was a solution within the system. You know, that there has to be something in the system. You always look in the system, right? When you're looking for your keys, you know you've lost them, and you look in your house. That's all the only place you look. They could be outside, but you insist that they've got to be in your house. They've got to be in the box, right? So you never look outside the box for the solution. So when you first came on here, I was actually frustrated with you because you weren't pointing to the solution, the remedy, the redemption, the salvation, the way to be saved from the system, from within the system. There's nothing I could look at, right? I mean, there was no... Yep. There was no legal thing that I could do because, well, legal is not of nature. It's not of God. Of course, it's not. And the perfect example of that, of course, is to point to, you know, your perfect fiction, The Matrix. You can't escape The Matrix while you're plugged into it. You have to have some way to get out. You have to have a landline to get the hell out of the Matrix. You can't, you know, you wake up, you're in a pod full of, you're plugged in, there's nothing you can do. You can't move, you're weak. There is no remedy, there is no redemption, there is nothing within the system. That was the hardest lesson that I had to learn, and I actually thank you for really making that clear after, it took a while, but I finally got it. And I hope my audience gets that, because we are constantly talking about the system, looking at it, saying, here's a method, here is legal advice, here is something you can do, here's a paper, here's a form, and yet it's all fake. It's all it's all within that matrix. It's all based on your matrix, which is your birth certificate. There is nothing you can do in the system, under the system. You can never be over the system if you're under it. You can never escape the box while you're in it. You know, it's just, it drives me crazy when I think about it. You know, it's a paradox.
Well, that's the whole thing. You see, the birth certificate in itself, when it's issued, is based on someone eventually who's going to be the holder of that, and they're going to be holding that counter security, and therefore that's showing them to be the surety for that bond. Because how does a make-believe government run a make-believe debt without having make-believe sureties for the debt? So there's no way they could run it any other way. Now, their system is not based on an idea of spiritual theocracy. It's about you know, man operating it, and man's situation does not think down a spiritual idea of forgiveness and grace. It walks down this idea of judgment. So they need someone to be the surety in their system, whereas, even the native peoples never believed that they were the owners of anything. They believed that they were from the land and that they were just blessed with having the land. They never believed they owned the land. Our system is based on belief in ownership, like we're some kind of God that created ourselves, but I guess in a way we really have, because we've make-believed and authorized ourselves into that scheme, into this make-believe movie. And once you've told someone over and over again, you can be an owner, you're going to be an owner, well, it's a ridiculous concept, because you will now own the responsibility, because you owe as owner. So therefore, you're going to be the surety, and all they've done is they've just basically borrowed an amount of money from a third party to operate a make-believe money system, which everybody's been so accustomed to accepting as real, but it's not real. It doesn't exist in nature. Nature doesn't extend money back and forth to one another. As we said earlier in other shows, squirrels do not rent out trees to squirrels. We're not intelligent at all right now. We're actually less intelligent than animals, because we've actually bound ourselves voluntarily into a system that operates like, because we're, as you said in previous moments, maybe I probably about 10 minutes ago, you mentioned the fact is that we don't look beyond the box. We're trying to find the solution in the box. But when you're in the problem, you're not going to get yourself out of the problem by surety-ing or guarantoring the problem itself. So we are consenting and placing our spirit into the problem. Now, the only thing I can see on this that I've been working diligently on to make sure that it's done right and that I say the proper things, well, the only thing you could do is remove what's yours out of there by not consenting anymore to be a participant in it. And you could only have one thing in there that belongs to you that does not belong to the state. And that's where your privacy was invaded. That's why we were talking about intrusion upon seclusion, which is the fancy word for invasion of privacy, which is what the Romans were professionals at. They invaded people's privacy and conquered them. And then basically, well, people were at that point, I mean, if the majority of the people were not consenting to be invaded, then they wouldn't have been invaded.
Wasn't that the best way to describe the middle class?
And then they became part of that fiction. Now, I know that may sound like force at times seems to overpower it, but maybe it would have been better that the native peoples never signed or never implied they even trusted in them nor signed a treaty, because if they had never tried to have an agreement with them, there wouldn't have been an agreement.
Yeah. Well, so I mean, isn't that the best way?
Now they're alternatives, because they all carry these surname debtor names now. Find a native out there who doesn't have a debtor name attached to their name.
That's true. The notion of the middle class, really, I guess you could say the best way to describe them, us, whatever, is to say that they are the ones who sold their privacy.
Yes.
I mean, it was conquered, it was sold, it was purchased. We sold out. That's what it is. And the best and easiest way to sell out your privacy is public debt. I mean, it's that simple. All right, folks, stay tuned. A little break coming up. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Are on the road must have a code that you can live by. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by.
All right, folks, welcome back here in the Corporation Nation. Well, Daniel, I was just, I was looking at different dictionaries today for the word attainder. We're talking about estoppels and attainders yesterday, and attainder was one of those words that I looked at, and I thought, attainder is a very, very almost exacting definition for what it is to be a citizen. The Bill of Attainder, of course, the Constitution says no bills of attainder shall be passed, but that's just a legislative act which inflicts punishment without a judicial trial. So what is attainder, though? Just because a bill is not passed for attainder, what is attainder? Well, I went to the 1889 Dictionary of Law, William C. Anderson, and I was like, yes, that's the perfect definition. Staining. Corrupting. That's what attainder is, and that's what citizenship is. Staining and corrupting. Pollution of blood. Extinguishment of inheritable quality of blood. Oh, well, that's just exactly what it means to get a birth certificate. When sentence of death, this is the interesting part, folks, and this is why I keep saying, look, folks, when you're reading the Bible, and you, or for that matter, any other writing in history, and you see the word death, the sentence of death, it's not what you, it's not real death, it's political death. It's the death of your rights as a citizen half the time. When the sentence of death is pronounced, the immediate inseparable consequences at common law is attainder. Oh, okay, so when you're said to be dead, like you are when you get on a birth certificate, you become a dead instrument, right? A sesta cuve? Well, that's the staining, corrupting, pollution of blood, extinguishment of inheritable quality of blood. So when you're, when you have a sentence of death, so in other words, folks, this is very important. We were sentenced to death at our birth. Birth and death are basically the same term. That's why you have a birth certificate and a death certificate. They're the same concept, but they have different qualities. But they're both dead. They're both part of the death process. They're both part of the sentence. That's why they call it doom. Doom, it's judgment. You're that's why this is hell. Inseparable consequence at common law is attainder when you're sentenced to death. The condemned is without the protection of the law. His estates are forfeited, his blood corrupted. The word is derived from attincta, the stain or corruption of the criminal capitally condemned. Remember, that's head. The party attained lost all inheritable quality. He could neither receive nor transmit property or other rights of inheritance. Now, that's not talking about someone who is physically dead, is it? It's talking about someone who at one time was considered to be a man, a real living, breathing being that had inheritable blood from the forefathers and that right of life. In other words, the blood flowing through your body is no longer considered. It's been attained. You're an attainder. You're in a sentence of quote-unquote death. You no longer have blood to be considered. Just like love is a consideration and an inducement to marriage contract, blood is a consideration and an inducement to attainder. It's an inducement to inheritance, and if you don't have it, it's an inducement to literally have nothing. And that's where we're at. That is the middle class. That is the situation we're all in as debtors. We are obligators. We have nothing. And I'm realizing this more and more and more. It's becoming clearer and clearer that we are all in this state of death, the very hell that is described in the Bible.
Yeah, they've got you as an insolvent debtor, no solution, no hope. Basically, how they started off is they when they issue the birth certificate, that's the minute that the money is borrowed from their third party. The state does not give you the money. The fact they don't have to give you anything because the ones who run the state operate things for the state, so it has nothing to do with you privately. And this is where people get mixed up in it, because it's a public borrowing out of the collective. And what happens is they just wait on that note. It's a debt note, and it cannot be collected on by the creditor until the disability is removed off of it. Now, because under age of minority, your infancy, they can't collect on it during that first period of your life. So they wait until the disability is removed off of it. Well, the disability is removed off of the birth certificate, the death certificate of death, when you hit age of majority, which is this, well, at least here in Canada, it's 18. I still think it probably holds at that worldwide. They're just not telling people that. They may say 21 in the U.S., but they don't remove the disability off that note till age of election. And 18 being 6, 6, 6, uniquely, adding to 18, then 1 and 9 being the arithmetic. After you get 1 and 8, you get 9, and it's the 9-digit sequence for the Social Security or insurance program. So basically at that stage, that's when the disability comes off the note. And then they wait till you sign on as the surety for that note. So now you've taken on the debt that has been borrowed by the province or the state that you come from, and now you're on the hook to actually pay it back. Anything that you use at that point, you're on the whole hook for the entire debt that you don't even have a disclosure on.
Nice.
And that's how the banking world works, because bank notes or these debt notes are never, ever outlawed from being collected on. They just wait until, if there's the only thing that prevents them being collected is in that beginning period of infancy, or if someone was born basically completely mentally incompetent, then the state itself has to come in as the parents patre and then operate this debt note and basically discharge all the debt through it. But they're waiting for someone to actually enter into the contract on it, to actually surety it at 18, not knowing. Being a layman, an ignoramus, which is what we state when we say, okay, well, I'm not in the legal fraternity. Well, the legal fraternity makes a whole bunch of money advising people how to continue being surety for these debts, for these debt notes. And they're never going to give that up. So you're never going to find a lawyer in the know who's ever going to actually help you to do this, because he'd be shooting himself in the foot.
It's true.
Because his whole existence is based on that very fiction, because they basically dictate and run a schematic of artificial debt, make-believe debt. Now, if you ever get a copy of the Matthew Henry commentary on the 1611 King James Bible, I think at times he shows his hostility towards lawyers. Because when he comments on woe unto ye lawyers that's spoken of in Luke 11, where you take away the key of knowledge, he says they were actually removing your redemption, or your actually ability to get yourself out of this hell. But his first comment is, the lawyers own the debt of the company. That's his first statement. That's a very unique statement from a man that's making a comment, a commentary back in the 1700s. How did he know then that these guys were these diabolical guys? Now, why does the Crown have organizations called the Devil's Own? Why is the title Defender of the Faith actually leading back to Devil's Advocate in its ultimate meaning? In its meaning, it means that because that's what they do. They advocate you to be a debtor of the devil in their philosophy. And they don't want you to be part of your creator, so they put you into the opposite side, which is the hell side. And of course, hell, as we know in Black's Law, said it was the dungeon of the king for the debtors. Well, In reality, what happens, Clint, if you've placed your trust in something that your creator told you not to put your trust in? He says, do not put your trust in nobles or the princes of men. Well, just a second here. If I'm saying that Her Majesty is my sovereign, which is what the lawyers actually adhere to when they swear an oath to the bar to cross the barrier between truth and fiction, well, they've actually changed lords, because that's what a tauren means, to change lords, to a tauren. So they've actually switched from their spiritual creator to basically the evil side. And if they're called the devil's advocates, I think that's clear enough to show which side they're on. So now they're on the evil side, and they're basically running debt. They could not run something that's based on what would be true credit. They run things on debtors. They need debtors in their system. The whole power is in controlling the debt.
Well, to say debt and debtor, you're virtually saying the same thing.
you're also saying the word guilt, because guilt or guile means debt. When you're guilty of something, that means you're the debtor. And, you know, you couldn't be more obvious than when they define that the surname is a debt or a debtor in law. So we're carrying that around. So how could you walk into a court or any other forum signing for that and not be the debtor of the debtor? It just they need a surety for it. They need someone signing on the line for that. And that becomes their line of duty. So unfortunately, once we've said that we're the surety for that, well, that's what they do. We believe we can share sovereignty. But that wouldn't really make any sense, because I don't believe that the creator of all things, or how we basically got here, the creator of that, the giver of life, could possibly have put us in a position of sharing his sovereignty, because it doesn't make any sense. That's why the native peoples never believed that they were in that position. They've been taught to do that later. They were taught to lie and say that they own the land, but they never believed that. They believed they were created of the land, which is very similar to the Genesis account. So
amazing.
They basically had a holistic, at least, view that they were birthed from the ground, which is identical to the Genesis account, and that God, their creator, their great spirit, breathed into them the breath of life.
Yeah.
And then they became a living soul. Without
from
God,
the dust.
They had, or without their creator, they had no spirit. Now, if you give your spirit to another creator who teaches you to be your own creator, that doesn't make any sense. It just sounds like you're on the hook for something that you could never really control, because we're not in control of anything. Because there's no possible way we could be. No, look at we're in control of doom, that's for sure, because we certainly seem to, you know, push that forward. But right now, man, in his current situation, is completely doomed because of what he's done to the planet. He's literally, like I said, when you see the landlord coming back to look at how the tenants have been basically dealing with the planet, I would be shipping everybody off the planet. I'd be doing a complete eviction.
Well, yeah.
A terrible show on gold. It was on it was on basically a Canadian program called 16 by 9. And they showed all the arsenic dumping that's used in the gold production. I don't even want to hear the word gold anymore. If someone says they want to get gold, you don't know what was done to the planet to obtain the gold. On that show, 16 by 9, they showed all the contaminated dumps all over Canada. And you can get the mapping. They have literally poisoned the entire Canadian hemisphere with arsenic dumping spots of arsenic that's going to leaching into the environment, that they said would cost, like, I think it was somewhere the estimate was around $9 or $20 million per location of these abandoned sites that they need to have monitored out of the taxpayers in order to prevent the leaching of that arsenic into the environment. And why do we need all this gold? Because we consider it precious. You can't eat it, but we want to mine it out of the ground and pretend that it's worth something. But
I'll tell you,
destroyed the entire environment over it.
You know, and this is the perfect example of what we've been trying to say, Daniel, all along, is that when you say that the word legal, because that's a perfectly legal operation that they're doing, poisoning whole swaths of earth and water supply, as in causing illness, and in my town the water supply was tainted and it gave myself and thousands of others cancer, so that's perfectly legal. That's the important part about it. It's legal, folks. It's legal. Don't complain. It's legal. Okay. The only way you can complain about legal things is if you actually stand up against them, because legal means illegal to God. God would never allow these things. Legal means go against and opposed to everything that is whole and moral and natural and of God, of creation. So That's the trick here is, you know, and we all fall for it. We all do things because it's legal, not because it's right or wrong, but because it's legal. We get permission and permissive licenses and all that stuff to do things that we know we shouldn't be doing, but we do them anyway.
Permission to do something that's against the law, but at the same time, we shouldn't be doing it anyways because that's an impostering of who you really are under the guise and the title of someone else that wants you to do something that's immoral, wrong, legal. Your given name is not legal.
It is well, think about how powerful
to their world. They need you to have a legal surname in order to have your spirit in consent in their dead body corporate.
Well, think about how powerful that is. I go to an attorney.
That's how evil runs it. Now, the only thing you can do is to remove your spirit from their dead body corporate by removing your consent to your own torture.
Quit being a patient.
It's unquestionable. The other one's questionable, so you got to start looking at all the documents that you've placed your consent on and start giving them notice you take your consent away.
Yeah. Well, you're taking your obligation away, definitely. That's the solution and obligation are basically the same word, one end of the same word. When you look up solution, you're generally guided to the word obligation. So, think about that though. You know, you talked about lawyers being the devil's advocate, literally. You know, if I go to a lawyer and I say, I want to prevent something from happening. Oh, I hear music. We'll cover that when we get back. Stay tuned.
Mission was successfully completed. Reality.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com, and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer-rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
HempUSA.org introduces 3 brand new detox formulations of micro plant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide. Only at HempUSA.org.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Scientists have been battling to understand what this unappealing object is all about. Battles about. What the object is all about.
Information in the form of energy streams in simultaneously.
Talking about attorneys being the devil's advocate, you know, we hear that, but I don't think we really actually consider what that means. I mean, literally, that means the adversary of man has advocates. Now, remember, folks, that attorneys, the word attorney, the word agent, the word trustee, there's all kinds of words that basically mean the same thing when you're talking about attorneys. Now, of course, you have the practice, the profession of attorneys, but let's not include ourselves in that particular description. What is an advocate, right? An advocate, advocatus, one who managed or assisted in managing another's cause before a judicial tribunal. What else is it called? A patronus. Remember Patronus from the Harry Potter series? Oh, I'm going to cast a spell, and it's called Patronus. What is it? It's the protector animal that appears and gets, you know, throws off the Dementors, and it's a whole, you know, there was nothing original in that except to make it a science fiction. What is a Patronus? It's an advocate. It's an attorney. It's something that stands for someone else. It's a protector, if you want to call it that, right? So, but we have to consider, well, wait a minute. We are also acting in an attorney state by acting an agent, by acting an agency with government. We get permission. We get license. We accept those things because we're acting in an attorney fat. We're representing ourselves as something we're not. So we're just as guilty. Just because these guys actually have a practice and an actual association, non-governmental, that actually, you know, is their protective little agency, just like a football team. The NFL is just like the bar, basically. It's just an advocacy group for them. Well, you know, we gotta put ourselves in the same category whenever we're talking about attorneys. That's the horrible truth. But you know, so what is an attorney? If we call it to an attorney a devil's advocate, that literally means that they're working as the advocate for the opposition to man, opposition to nature, opposition to God. That's what that means. You know, that's a powerful statement when you think about that. An advocate or defender of the devil, literally. Of, I mean, that's a big way bigger than we probably give it credit for, wouldn't you say, Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, I feel to some extent an empathy, because I think a lot of people that have become lawyers, that's all they've just been shown to do, that maybe they didn't realize what they were getting into. And I see the same thing in the medical field also. I think there are some guys that sit in the emergency that just sew up people from terrible disasters, and that's probably all they're really, that's probably the best that they do, more than not. It's when you get into these really serious emergency things they do, but they're mixed up with so many bad contaminated things in what they do, in their practices, because these guys are doctors, they're really doctors of death. Whether it be the medicine field, the medical field, or whether it be the legal field, both of those,
they're both doctors of death. I mean, that's what it boils down to. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.